Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That was not the way the trip to Jacksonville was supposed to end for the Cleveland Browns as they went on the road in search of their third straight win. Overall, second straight on the road against a winless Jacksonville Jaguars team, and they left Jacksonville with a loss by the score of 24-6. Nathan Zagura joined by Matt Wilhelm and Joe Jurevicius, as I am every single Monday here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to break down this Jags-Browns game, what went right and what went wrong, ultimately causing the Browns to lose a game that seemed very winnable, a game in which they intercepted Blake Bortles three times, a game in which, frankly, the defense played very well, a game where the defense didn't give up only one scoring drive all game long of more than 13 yards. Think about that, folks. One scoring drive all game long of more than 13 yards. When it was all said and done, the Browns found themselves down 24-6. They had miscues offensively, another special teams miscue. And basically, this was the game where I thought we saw, gentlemen, a Browns team that this was the concern coming into the season, that this team would play great defense, but the offense just would not have enough. You looked at the playmakers, you said, where are they? And this was a team that had scored 21 or more points in five straight to open the season. Well, they didn't get in the end zone today. A lot of blame to go around for the woes offensively, but a tough game. Matt and Joe, gentlemen, what were your key takeaways here from this game? Just your quick initial reactions to what happened. Matt, we'll start with you.
My initial takeaway is obviously disappointment, you know, because of for every reason we all thought that the trip to Jacksonville was going to be so well for us and what we'd get out of it and what we able to, I mean, we talked about imposing our will on this football team and it was vice versa. And I really think that they ran the ball. It seemed at times at will. Blake Bortles was the rookie quarterback we all expected him to be. I think to shine a light on something of positivity for us, I think the defensive backfield, you know, you talked about Justin Gilbert played well. Tashawn Gibson gets two picks. Buster Screen steps in front of one. You know, Joe Hayden, you know, did his job all day. He might not have had that big play that we're so accustomed to having, but everybody else did their job. And again, the disappointment of the fact that we had an opportunity to get to 4-2, and with Cincinnati also losing, you know, being shut out by the Indianapolis Colts, we would have sat atop the division after this win. So it's kind of left this building and all of us kind of reeling, you know, coming back to Cleveland.
It was disappointing. There's no question about it, Joe.
I would say that this is a learning opportunity. You know, I've always had a hard time going between being a former pro player and then coming to the other side and kind of trying to dissect things, you know, like we do in radio and television. But if there was a learning opportunity, this was it. And the simple fact, everybody knows and everybody's talking about things were not done well this Sunday. There's no denying that, correct?
No, of course. There were a lot of things done well.
And on the flip side of that, you've also got the opportunity to know that, hey, we can't do that again. And fortunately, we still have two teams coming here that we have to play, that we can correct these problems and still get well above 500. So that's the opportunity for us. Again, offensively, we were MIA. We were missing in action. You know, the most exciting thing to happen there was a swimming pool. You know, I mean, if you're watching it from television, offensively, you know, that was. And then defensively, we made plays. I mean, we actually did a pretty good job, but it was very apparent that Jacksonville wanted that game more than we did.
I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars were a team that, and we were worried about the fast start. You know, you wanted to go out there, make a statement, get them down early. They hadn't won a game all year, and that maybe you could get it done. And the Browns found themselves up 6-0. But as you go through that early stage of the game, they were not able to deliver that knockout blow. I thought one play that we'll look back on and wonder what would have been was the third down play from around the 5-yard line when Brian Hoyer had Jordan Cameron wide open in the end zone, missed him. That could have put him up 10-0. Instead, it's 6-0. But then you get the ball right back. You have an opportunity to go in. You pick up with a sweep on first down, 8 yards. 2nd-and-2, Terrence West comes in, and I thought had an easy opportunity to pick up the first down and started dancing, started going right to left, sideline to sideline, not north and south, and then all of a sudden you're faced with a 3rd-and-a-half yard. You don't get that. Mike Pettine, confidence, wants to deliver that knockout blow. You can't do it on 4th down, less than 2 minutes to go, and all of a sudden the Jags go down the field for the only time all game, score, and you, instead of being up 9-0 or stepping on their throats, really getting through that, being up maybe 13-0, you find yourselves down 7-6 at the half. Psychologically, I thought that was a huge turning point in this game.
It definitely was, and I think that is something that a rookie head coach and Mike Pettine will look back upon. Is he too much of a player's coach? Have the last two victories over the Titans and Steelers built his confidence in that rapport in the locker room that he felt like he was doing it for the guys, you know, in that locker room? Because I trust these guys that they'll go get me this yard. But in fact, again, we get an opportunity to step back and analyze and understand what's at stake when you miss. It's always like, well, my confidence is high. We're going to go. I know my guys will get it and make me look like, you know, a king. But you also have to think about, well, what if we don't? What does that put us up against? And I think he might have, you know, as you said, he might have thought that, you know, my defense is playing well. We're limiting them. And I really do think anytime you have an opportunity to put points on the board, especially in the first half of a football game, it's not worth the risk to me.
Well, I think if you kick the field goal, the worst you're looking at going into halftime is 9-7. You're still going into halftime with the lead.
Correct.
If you kick the field goal there. Now, I understand and I like the confidence of it, and you couldn't have been worried too much about their offense. They hadn't been doing anything yet. I don't think their offense would scare you at any point up that far in the game.
Nate, when I turned the game on for kickoff, it literally came across as one of those games that we had talked about before the show. It was just one of those, oh boy. I mean, I could actually feel it sitting in my living room kind of watching the game that this was going to be a struggle, because Jacksonville's offense to me was so boring to watch that it was almost like they weren't only going to lull me to sleep, but they might lull the entire Cleveland Browns team to sleep. And there was just no atmosphere there. And a lot of times when you go on a field, man, you want atmosphere. You want things going the right way. You know, you want to get some type of feel for the game. And it was so hard to get a feel for the game because, in my opinion, Jacksonville's offense was that vanilla.
It was vanilla, and that's why you wanted the Browns to be able to jump on them. Jacksonville wasn't doing anything early in this game, and yet the Browns found themselves up 6-0 and couldn't make any more headway than that, ultimately, as the game came to a final close. This was the first time we saw the Browns' run defense completely get stopped. I thought this was easily Brian Hoyer's worst game so far of the season, as he really struggled here behind this offensive line, and I think that's something we're going to get into over the course of this show. We'll kind of go through the good and the bad from the offense. We'll break it down. We do want to hear from you at 216-578-0850, and I want to get into our Ohio Business Machine's hot topics of the day, something we'll think about and we'll talk about as well. But this is what we want from you. Where does this team go from here? What bothered you the most from yesterday's game? And then, is this an overreaction? Did we overreact to the highs of the wins? Are we overreacting now to the low of the loss? And you got three game balls. Who gets them? And should anybody get one after that performance? And I say yes. I think there are plenty of game balls actually to go around in this game for the Browns. They're just going to be for a change on one side of the football, and it hasn't been the side of the ball that's been carrying the Browns thus far this season. I think when you look at this game, the Browns will look back at this as a wasted opportunity. That's why this will feel so disappointing. I think ultimately the score may have ended up 24-6, but this game was a 10-6 game basically the entire second half, and the Browns had every opportunity to win this game and were unable to do so. I thought it was tough, and I feel like maybe some of the distractions from midweek hindered things here, certainly for the quarterback position. Joe, I know you have a thought on that.
No question. I've always been a firm believer that in order to go through a week with continuity and everything flowing, that you cannot have distractions. And I think we talked about it earlier in the week when we first saw the reports coming out that there was some contract negotiating or some discussion about Brian Hoyer's contract, that it was almost like, oh boy, here comes the distractions. With the wins come more media, with the media comes more hype, and with that, and they're going to dissect everything. So it's unfortunate because the teams that are constantly winning, you are not hearing anything about contracts. You're not hearing anything. There's nothing to distract you. So I think we talked about opportunity. I said learning lesson earlier. There's a lot of things to bring that notebook to the meeting today. And I mean, there are a lot of opportunities to take a lot of notes.
There definitely is. And I do also concur the fact that, you look at a guy like Brian Hoyer, who's exceeded expectations thus far, being an undrafted free agent, playing behind Tom Brady, coming here back to his home, Cleveland Browns team, and starting for this football team. Just talk about, you look back at his play in training camp when that competition was looming supreme mentally in his head. You know, he was focusing on learning his offense and that competition every single day. And now he gets over that, name the starter, and goes out. You know, he's sitting at 3-2 and an amazing opportunity in front of you against the Jacksonville Jaguars that we know where they ranked. We saw a different team play, but I think that it just goes to show how this game is mental as well, and how that little bit of doubt in his head, that little bit of distraction to a professional hindered his performance on Sunday. And I really do think whether he can say it until he's blue in the face that it had, you know, there was no concern, it is an absolute concern. And in some case, it hindered his preparation throughout the week, as you said, Joe, but also to hinder his performance on Sunday.
Well, let's be honest here real quick, too. It's not only is it a distraction for Brian, but it becomes a distraction for the teammates because guys have to answer, have you heard about it, Johnny? Have you heard about this, guys? Have you heard about Brian Hoyer's contract talk? You know, it's a distraction. So I think those have to be eliminated. They absolutely have to be eliminated. I am still on Brian's back. I want this guy to win bad, you know. And again, Everybody's allowed a bad game. I mean, it happens to the best of them. You know, everybody a couple weeks ago was talking about Tom Brady was done, and everybody's all of a sudden in Tom Brady's backpack wanting to go to work with them because he's absolutely playing that well. So I'm on Brian's side. I want this guy to do well. Eliminate it. You know, it's no habla ingles when it comes to, hey, what's going on with your contract? I don't know. I don't understand what you just said. I'm worried about going on to beat the Oakland Raiders.
And I thought he tried to handle that way.
He did.
It just ultimately became a story. And I know that we addressed it. I said it was a non-story on the show last week. Matt did as well. And so did Joe. And ultimately it is and was. But it was a disappointing performance. 16 of 41. Four of those completions coming on the final drive when the game was completely out of hand. So really, when you look at it in meaningful parts of the game, 20 completions over the last 2 weeks, that's rough. The inaccuracy, though, was what really stood out to me in this game. I think for Brian Hoyer to be effective, given maybe some of the physical limitations he might have, you need him to be a guy who reads the field quickly, which is one of the things that we said has been a staple of his game, deliver the football accurately. And I thought this was his least accurate performance to date this season. And you kind of saw the warts of what could happen to this offense if the ground game gets taken away, if you can't really hit those big plays off of play action, and you find yourself in a bunch of third and long situations when you don't have guys who can win one-on-one against press coverage on the outside, it becomes a challenge for this team. And I think we saw that, and the Browns are going to have to get ready because the blueprint that Jacksonville laid out is now out there for the world to see, and they're going to see a heck of a lot more of it until they prove they can beat it.
Real quick here. We can also talk about, listen, Brian, I thought, could have made some better throws. There's no doubt about it. The other side of it, too, is there were some drop balls, man. Those are,
yes.
In the NFL, man, you have got to catch the tough balls. I mean, not every ball is going to be on the money. There were some balls there that I thought could have been caught, and they would have changed the momentum. Would have changed the momentum of the game. So, again, this isn't all on Brian. There are some drops talked about. But again, there was just absolutely zero flow.
You're right. And I think my concern is more so with what you said, Nathan, the fact that there is a template out there to beat the Cleveland Browns, and we're this soon into the season. You know, we've got 10 games to play, and we will see a version of what the Jacksonville Jaguars did to this offense every week now. So that being said, I don't feel Brian Hoyer's the problem. You know, yet, and again, Brian Hoyer didn't help. His play didn't help. I think that the fact that the wide receivers didn't help, you know, the lack of a running game didn't help. And what it really showed me was we need to fire on all cylinders, and we need participation from everybody. We need Brian Hoyer to play better. We need those receivers to play above par. We need those running backs to play above. And that offensive line, which, you know, with Greco now at center, who's going to be going back to guard, we just need everybody to do a little bit more. And I think they played down in some cases to Jacksonville's level, which kept them in the game. And Jacksonville just kept pouring it on us and pouring it on us and pouring it and building their own little fire right in front of us.
And they did, and it wasn't like they were doing anything offensively. That's the thing. When you go back and watch this game drive by drive, you'd say the Browns, oh, we blew another opportunity. Oh, we blew another opportunity. Oh, we blew an opportunity. We didn't put points on the board. But Jacksonville didn't score, and they didn't score, and they didn't score. They scored the touchdown at the end of the first half. We had the fumble, which I thought was an incomplete pass that they picked up, and then they got 7 plays, 13 yards, got nowhere, kicked a field goal. It's 10-6 with 10 minutes left in the third quarter. They didn't score or really threaten other than the drive that ended in the Buster screen interception until the muff punt, and they had an 8-yard touchdown. So Denard Robinson, yes, he ran for 127 yards. He didn't make one play that contributed to points for them until there was a muff punt with 5 minutes left. So I'm not that worried about what happened with the run defense. A lot of people are going to point that. We're going to continue to break all this down. When we come back, we're going to talk about just how big of an impact the loss of Alex Mack was, because I think when you look back at this game and really assess what happened here, his loss was humongous in this game for the Cleveland Browns. We're going to talk about some of the positives we saw, but also focus on what needs to be done now offensively, defensively. We're going to go inside of the mind of the locker room after a game that I think this team knows they should have won the game. They were the better team on the field, the more talented team, yet they came up on the short end of the stick, giving up 24 unanswered, it turns out, to the Jacksonville Jaguars, finally dropping the game 24-6 when it was all said and done. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. This is your time for reaction. What bothered you? What were the positives you saw? What concerns, questions do you have? If you saw something in the game, why did this happen? We'll try to break that down for you as we continue here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.